the Brandon Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by Metashare. To find out more about the radio show or Brant's book, Unoffendable, go to BrantHanson.com.
Hey there, my name is Brant. Welcome to the program. If you're new to the show, we should introduce ourselves. I am a married white male, middle-aged, young-looking. But the point is, I'm on the autism spectrum. I tell people that, explain some things, if you're familiar with that. National Autism Month, by the way. From a small town in the Midwest. And Miss Sherry is from Pittsburgh, single, African-American, female, very smart, very accomplished, playwright.
Thank you.
She can write. She's brilliant. Want us to tell people. A lot hipper than I am. Way hipper.
Oh, I don't know about that. Oh, I think there's some... I'm culturally aware. I know what's going on in pop culture.
She's aware. She's aware of what's going on, and I'm not.
That's so, the most important distinction. You guys all need.
Yeah, Sherry's aware, and I'm not. There you go. Totally serious challenge for you. If you're somebody who feels a little bit depressed, do this exercise. Physical exercise helps, too. But just think about things you're really, really deeply grateful for. Deeply grateful. Now, some people will say, Brant, that's too simplistic. You're not clinically depressed. You don't understand. Actually, yeah, I am. I take
I was going to ask you to clarify that because some people would say it's not that easy.
I struggle with it my whole life. So I'm telling you this. It's not like just some guy like, hey, look at the bright side.
Don't worry, be happy.
Not at all, but I think it's true. I think it's true to be deeply grateful and deeply depressed at the same time. And that's coming from, again, a guy who struggles with this and has my entire life. But I find that helps me very much to realize, wait a second, what are the blessings? Can I concentrate on those? Hey, what's up? If you ever want to contact this very cool, highly rated radio program, very smooth. All you have to do is call us. It's 855-90-BRANT. And it's just one of those chill shows everybody likes to listen to.
Yeah,
totally. Oh, my goodness. Hang on a second.
Well, look at this.
Hang on a second.
Isn't this amazing?
We have breaking animal news this time from someone who's anointed himself as a breaking animal news reporter.
Oh, we have those now.
In
I didn't
the field.
Know.
Yes.
Okay.
I like this idea.
Brant and Sherry, this is Knowlton, and I'm just an aspiring breaking animal news correspondent. I'm sitting here at the otter tank in the Monterey Bay Aquarium, and I just wanted to tell you guys that the otters are very, very fluffy. Looks like they've been freshly fluffed, and and they're adorable. So I just wanted to give you that bit of news. Thanks. This was Knowlton, breaking animal news correspondent.
From Monterey Bay Aquarium, California.
I didn't know we had stringers and people out there in the field.
855-90-BRANT is our phone number if other people want to do that.
Are we paying? Because I don't know that we have
this is
that
one of those fields
budget.
Where you just don't make that much money. You know
okay.
that. You know that. This, stringer, this is how you break into the biz as a stringer.
So no money.
Yeah. Right. Nothing. But you get the exposure, and you can put it on your resume that you worked as a breaking animal news reporter.
Okay, well, that's something.
And so just recapping what we're hearing here
out in the field
at the news command center is that these otters are really, really fluffy over there. Can I share a really great quote? It's only one sentence. It's a short sentence. There aren't even any commas or semicolons in it. Henri Nouwen said something. I really like what he said. He said about forgiveness. He said, forgiveness changes the way we remember.
Wow.
Exactly. Like, bro.
Call Henri now, bro. Dude.
Highly regarded priest, Harvard staff member, author, deceased.
Dude, that
bro.
Was awesome.
Nice. It is true. It changes... You let go of your anger against that somebody. We've all got this. That's just it. We've all got this somebody along the line. But just letting go of it changes that memory of that interaction with that person or who that person is and was, all this stuff. It's amazing what forgiveness does. Maybe you do this. A lot of younger guys do, but they kind of look to me for guidance on social skills. and how to make conversation. And I've learned smoothness, basically, in social environments. It doesn't come naturally to me. Mm-hmm. It just sounds like it does, because what I've done is I've armed myself with ways to get conversations started. You bring in a fact.
Okay.
That's how you do it. You just bring a fact, now, and then you start the conversation around that fact.
Others would say you ask people about themselves, but you say no to that?
So what we'll do is we're going to do a...
obviously.
Like airplane. We'll get on an airplane. Mm-hmm. It's one place where people have to talk. Like, we'll get on, do like a little role play.
Okay.
All right. So, like, doing this. So let's say you sit down next to me.
Okay.
That was a hiccup. According to some, but in reality, what I just did there was an involuntary spasm of my diaphragm. The muscular membrane in my chest figures importantly in breathing. Sometimes, a spell of these diaphragm spasms ensue when the muscle gets irritated, often due to the presence of too much food or, conversely, too little.
Brent.
Now you go.
Did you just manufacture a hiccup?
Perhaps, but the point is, my hiccup started a whole conversation. Did you not hear that?
Did
you not hear the whole conversation?
There was
ensued?
No conversation.
So
it
guys,
was a fake hiccup.
You're
and
welcome,
then just
and I'm here for any
terrible
questions. Psst, NPR. NPR people, we love you. We mm-hmm, do. Mm-hmm. We do. But NPR, you guys.
And you know they're listening.
I do. Well, we know it. Yes, we do, because they take all our ideas, they take them,
yes,
and then they run with them. And it's happened like 15 times.
And it really has. I can't even argue with you because it actually has.
It actually has. And
yes,
it's not like just incidental. Like, we got a radio puppet named Lloyd.
Mm-hmm.
They went out and got the same exact puppet.
Yeah. A radio puppet for themselves.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then started tweeting about their radio puppet. The exact same, like, odd fabric.
Yeah. It's true.
It is. Okay, anyway. Yeah. So now they're into exposing the national days of stuff. Like, I oppose national days, like National Donut Day.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm like, I'm not eating a donut today because that's probably being concocted by the people at Krispy Kreme.
Yes.
So,
and that is a standard you've had for years.
Right. So
yes.
Now they're like, hey, let's be all about that.
I did read that article that they mm-hmm posted. Yeah.
So... I try not to be, I'm not going to be upset about it.
You
shouldn't. I'm dropping my anger. Watch that. See? Forgiveness.
Unoffendable. Available on
right.
Amazon.com.
Right. Why don't you guys pick that up? I'm available. Just take our puppets. Is that it? Just our puppet. If you ever want to connect with us, it's 855-90-BRANT. That's the phone number.
Brant, this is Amanda Ray. I was calling because I just listened to what you were saying about feeling discontent with your relationship with God. I'm 32 years old. I became a Christian when I was 9 years old, and I struggle with that, the discontentment and feeling like I'm inadequate, like my relationship with God is inadequate constantly, no matter how hard I try. So what you were saying really hit home.
No, I think it's a lot of people, Amanda, and you know what I love? Like, there are many things I love about the Bible, but all these stories, all these things that we have written down that Jesus said, and what I don't see ever is an equation of emotion with that's what makes God happy. Like, oh.
Feelings.
Right, your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
I do see obedience. And that really pleases him. In fact, there's a couple of sections in the Old Testament where a prophet is speaking on behalf of God and saying, yeah, I see your big festivals and your big shows that you're doing. I see all that. I see you getting carried away with that. But that's not what I want. What I really want is obedience. And I want it now. It's just kind of like, you know, even if we're not feeling it, I have to think, because it's so consistent, I have to think that God's pleased with us, even those of us who don't have those emotions that other people can't have, and those can be good, but even those of us that don't have those, and we can be obedient anyway, and we do what we know is right, I think he's very pleased with it. Katie is an introvert. She says on my Facebook page, she said, on one of your shows recently, you spoke about severe introverts and greeters at church. Greeters are the people they're assigned to be like, hey, how's it going? Here's a bulletin or whatever it is. As you come in and they smile at you and they're real nice about it.
Yes.
And she said, I purposely avoid the greeters by going through the church back doors. And I always stay seated during the meet and greet time during our worship when the pastor tells us to say hi to our neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
So, Katie, I totally get that. 100%. The staying seated, I feel like I have to get up and interact.
Why?
Maybe I don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I'm going to stay seated. No, I don't.
Why inside? What makes you say I have to do this, even though like it's against my whole being, I have to do this?
I guess because I feel like church is supposed to be interaction. We're supposed to one another each other. Mm. And that's one of the few openings to actually get to even interact the way they set it up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking about the typical churches, mm-hmm. not like home church or whatever, which right. I've been a part of, where mm-hmm. you actually, that's what you do. Is
you do life together.
Yeah, you mm-hmm. you get to one another.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, and I don't want people to get the impression I don't want to be with them.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, you don't have to do that, Katie, but that's my struggle too. It's hard being an introvert. They actually assigned me to be a greeter once in high school. They had the high school kids.
Oh, how did that go?
Well, I'm still suffering. How bad I was. I wanted to hide behind the door. I was like, please don't make me do this. Please.
How do I help?
And this was like in a church environment mm-hmm. when they make you stand up and greet each other.
Yes.
If you happen to go to one of those churches.
And if someone is not doing it.
I have an idea.
Okay.
Is talk to that person.
Mm-hmm.
Make it obvious, like shaking hands. Hold your hand out for a handshake.
Okay.
Hi, my name's Sherry.
Mm-hmm.
And then make conversation with them.
Okay.
That will take up the rest of the time. That frees us as introverts from feeling, okay, now I got to turn to that. Now I'm locked in. It takes away.
Okay.
If you're asking questions.
Mm-hmm.
Then mm-hmm. it takes away my angst about having to talk to people on my left and right behind me and for me. And I feel like I'm being social.
Okay, so monopolize the whole thing.
Totally. And it also will help me because I feel like, okay, I got to know a person,
uh-huh.
which we do want to know.
Good.
But it's really hard. And if it's just a, hey, how you doing? We don't understand what the point of that was.
Okay.
So now I can talk. So there you go.
All right. I will do that this coming Sunday.
There you go, Sherry.
If I'm rejected, then...
Then it's you'll you, understand buddy. How we feel. Because a little bit of a taste of that during church. We understand how that feels. Well, look at this. We have a call. 855-90-BRANT. We have a call from someone wondering how game night went. We had game night where Sherry and her nieces came over
mm-hmm.
for some board games.
Mm-hmm.
And, a call about
hey, Sherry, this is your... after all that goings on about how... Brant was going to gloat over your nieces. How did that go?
Huh.
Yeah. Thanks. Look forward to hearing about that.
Well, I'll tell you how it went.
Well, we talked about it already. We don't need to get back into it, do we?
Sometimes you need to go back over things and re-explain. The level of the dominance was amazing.
Oh, my goodness.
Colton, it was a spectacle.
That wasn't even his name.
I did, I did several dances. Not,
yes.
Not... restricted to the worm and the robot.
No, there was a lot going on after you won.
A lot of moves.
And then you lent me money during the game.
Yeah.
And then for a bottle collection that I really didn't want, but you pushed me into getting. And then demanded the money. I barely got past the square to give it to you.
She finished with no money and a bottle collection.
That you lent me money for.
And I finished with sports cars.
Why are we going back through
art
this?
Art collections. And a racehorse and thousands of dollars.
My nieces learned a lesson that night.
They sure did. Mr. Man knows how to make it happen. We'd love it if you ever want to connect. 855-90-BRANT.
Yeah, my name's Jim. I deliver pizzas for a living, and I've seen it in somebody's front yard. This was National Autism Month, and that one of their children has autism. And I just think Brant is a great example of somebody who has autism or a... light case of whatever, and I was wondering if it'd be inappropriate if I knocked on their door and told them about y'all show, because I think Brant is wonderful. Sherry, you're as great too.
Oh, that's
my
great.
My name is Jim, and thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Jim.
Dude, you're awesome.
I love that.
It is. Thank you. It's so kind. It's like this, I'm just a slight case of whatever.
Yeah. There's, he's listening and he knows something's going on.
He's got something. He's, yeah. He's touched in the head in a certain way.
That makes him wonderful. That's what he's saying. He wants to spread the news.
It's incredibly kind.
Yeah.
Thank you. And yeah. This is it. This is the one of the few times that I'm breaking my no national days of or months of thing.
Yeah, for National Autism Month.
It's for this. It's true. And I hear from a lot of people, especially parents who are like, have got kids on the spectrum or whatever. And I tell them all the same thing. It's what I read a doctor did when he made the diagnosis of Asperger's, but it could be autism spectrum, whatever. He tells the student or the young person, like, congratulations, you've got Asperger's. Congratulations, you're on the autism spectrum. That's how I feel about it. I wouldn't want it to be any other way. And I have a son who's on the spectrum too. I don't want it any other way. It's so interesting to me.
It's just so epic what is happening right now. We are on board a spaceship. It's not just a radio studio. It's a spaceship. And I'm sitting in what would be called Captain Picard's chair. Mm-hmm. And I'm wearing similar outfit, but the point is that we have Stephanie here on board. She's willing to do this. We're looking at an alien planet on a big screen. It'll blow up if she gets a question wrong. That's why there's so much tension right now, and it'll all be her fault.
Great.
Are you okay
no
with that?
No pressure there.
Okay.
It depends. Are they nice? Is it a nice planet?
Oh, they're very nice.
They're fantastic. Fantastic people.
If anybody deserves to live in the universe, it's them.
And yet, here we are.
Here we are.
Here we are. I'm going to blow them up. Okay, lay it on me.
A lot of pressure.
I like the high stakes.
An entire planet hangs in the balance. We're watching it here on this high-definition screen. How many words are in a typical email reply? That's according to a study from University of Southern California. How many words are in a typical email reply? 5, 50, or 100? Typical email reply.
Okay, now, I am telling you, I cannot sign my name in less than 3 pages. So, like, it's actually hilarious how this is not the question for me.
Okay, well, actually, if you don't answer soon, the planet's going to blow up.
Anyway, they've got nothing. Okay, I'm going to say 5.
One with 5. 5 words in a typical email reply. She gets it right. She becomes queen of the planet. The answer is typical email 5.
Yay!
You did it! She's being carried. It's a big ceremony, like at the end of the first Star Wars. Technically, episode 4, but it doesn't matter. The point is, there's a big coronation, and it's amazing.
I will be a very benevolent dictator.
Good.
That's all we need.
That's all we're asking for. Question comes up a lot, and I think it's from people who have been hurt by church experiences, mainly. Do I have to be part of a church? Do I have to? And my answer to this is, look, let me put it in terms of me. I can come up with some pretty goofy stuff if I'm by myself. I need other people to check me. I need other people to show me what God is like. It's just like any other relationship that you have with a human. Like when you introduce a third party to it, you get to see different aspects of the person you were friends with. It can be a wonderful thing. And different people see different aspects of God that are legitimate, and you'll miss out on it because you're doing it yourself. It's also true that even the Bible, you can go, well, I got the Bible. Yeah, but the Bible was meant to be read in community with other people. It wasn't just me coming up with whatever I think. Again, I can come up with some goofy stuff. So I would say, yes, you need other people. You need people to encourage you because it's hard to forgive. We're talking about living a lifestyle of forgiveness. You need somebody to encourage you to do that every day. And that's up to you. But as far as being a follower of Jesus, doing it by yourself, it's not designed that way. And no wonder we can get lonely and come up with some goofy stuff.
So you're always talking about anger and controlling it and everything, but what do you do when you have a whole lot of people just trying to make you angry at the same time? I'm a teacher, and I just have this one class that just drives me crazy. I wonder if you have any advice.
Dude, that is such a tough job.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
You did substitute teaching for a while,
didn't
you?
Oh, yeah. I ruled with an iron fist because I remembered how I was substitute. I was very psychological with them.
Okay.
And that wasn't cool. But I remember that when I went back in to teach.
Mm-hmm.
But Here's the thing, man, and I'm totally feeling for you, but it's just like an individual. You don't forgive an individual because they deserve it, right? I mean, it's not because they have earned your forgiveness. It's because you remember what God has done for you. So bearing that in mind, I think the class thing is just like an individual. Then in that case, it's like you're not forgiving each individual person in there because an individual's awesome. Where they've apologized. Some of these kids will never, ever apologize. If you get one apology, you know, that is like, boy, that feels good. Probably not going to happen. You do it. You go into the situation forgiving in advance. Mm. And I feel that way about life. I feel like forgiveness is more of a lifestyle than it is an event. It can be an event, but it's like this is the way to follow Jesus. Like you wake up in the morning, like I am going to be a forgiver. And again, it's not because of them. It's because of what God has already done for you. And if you need people to remind you, I mean, this radio station is a great way to do it. I think driving in, but this is what the church is for. We're supposed to be building each other up this way to go, hey, dude, I know you're teaching this week. It's got to be hard. Remember to forgive those kids. Somebody can tell you that each week. It'd be wonderful. When we talk about forgiveness, when I talk about forgiveness, it does not mean, well, does that mean I have to go back into an abusive relationship? No. No. It doesn't mean trust. Like, I have to trust. If I've forgiven, I have to trust this person all over again. No, that's not what it means at all. Forgiving is letting go of your sense of entitlement to anger. In light of what God has forgiven you for, you let go of your anger because God has been willing to let his go because of what Jesus has done. So you're constantly looking at, look, I've been forgiven for so much. I need to turn around and let go of this anger. That does not mean, oh, I just have to walk right back to this horrible relationship and let them do that to me again. That's not at all. That's never what it means. It has to do with you and God. And in many cases, we have to forgive people. They might be deceased. It might be dad or mom. They're not coming back to apologize. And you still have to let go of your anger because this is about you and God and where your heart is. It's actually really easy to be an expert, and I don't want to come off as I think I'm one. It's really to sound like one in the media or on TV. With these psychologists on TV, I'm like, what's their household really like? Doesn't matter, because they can go on the air and act like it's awesome, and they've got all the answers, and you can edit things. And the same thing happens with radio. I could act a certain way. I'm no expert. I'm just trying to figure stuff out. But what scares me a little bit is Jesus turns to this crowd of experts. I mean, they are the professional Bible readers. It's the Professional Bible Readers Club, the PBRC of Jerusalem.
Jerusalem chapter.
They got the matching jackets and stuff. And he says to them, have you not read? Because they bring up something. He's like, have you not read about blank? And he mentions something in the Old Testament. He knows they pride themselves on reading the Bible. Have you guys not read this part? I mean, here's the Professional Bible Readers Club, and Jesus is saying, apparently you didn't get it, because you can read it over and over and over and over, and it's not in your heart, so you didn't get it, experts. If you're looking for friends, we would like to volunteer for that role. We know it's weird. I got this note from Lucas, and he said, you often say one of the goals of the show is to be friends. Sometimes I'm sad that the friendship is rather one-sided. However, I am honored to consider myself your friend in our own peculiar way. And I love that.
That's nice.
It was incredibly cool. He's a grad student in math, and I like that a lot, too.
Yeah, so that's right up your alley.
Really would like to be friends, but... You know, we say that we really, really mean it. It is weird that it's only one way, and I don't like that. That's one reason I love Facebook. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to make Mark Zuckerberg rich, but I love interacting with people there. And it wouldn't be one way if it could work that way. Mm-hmm. It's just the nature of mass media. We feel like we're talking to one person at a time. And if that's you in your car or you wherever you are, it's such an honor to us to be part of your life. It is a big deal. We do want to be your friend.
This has been the Brant and Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by MediShare. To find out more about the radio show or Brant's book, Unoffendable, go to BrantHanson.com.